Thanks be to God.
Lifelines. Probably the most popular in present day was, do you want to be a millionaire? And they had all those choices where you could call out to a friend or ask an audience member. It was kind of a lifeline so you didn't have to end the game. I spent 4 years in the Navy. I loved it. They had a lifeline that they would tie from the front of the ship to the back of the ship in storms. And the only way that you could get through on the deck was hang on to that lifeline. Because if you let go, they don't know where they're going to find you, okay? And I've been on a ship. In fact, when I was headed to the first Gulf War with my ship, we were about, 50 miles off the coast of Hawaii, and we got hit with a typhoon. And I was driving the ship during the typhoon. Most of the guys were just deathly ill. They were so sick. And so when I got up to the bridge, the captain looked at me and says, "Hey, Grable, you're driving." I'm like, "Oh, really?" Because you're supposed to keep it within so many, nautical miles, and you have to keep it, if he says come left to heading such and such, you got to stay on that heading. Well, it's very, very hard to do in a storm. And we had a big ship. I was on a tack oiler out of Oakland, California. We had fuel for jets and fuels for the ships. And we also, since we're going to war, our deck was covered with missiles and ammunition. It was a good time. So as I'm driving the ship, I start to get off course a little bit. And the captain looks at me and goes, "Grable, where are we going?" He goes, "I'm going home, sir." He goes, "We all want to go home, but get back on course." But the thing is we need lifelines in life, don't we? All right? And the number one lifeline I want to talk to you today about is Jesus himself and his name and the power of his name. In fact, if we think about names, images come to mind, right? So if I say the Pope, you have an image of the Pope, right? Now, the other next question is, just because that name is familiar, does that name hold power? Does that name make you think, okay, well, if someone's sick, I'm going to pray in the name of the Pope? No, you're not, right? You're not going to use a name of someone that's popular or even someone that's highly spiritual. You're going to use the name of Jesus, right? Okay, there's Elvis. He was pretty popular. Did we heal anybody in the name of Elvis? Okay, how about Ronald Reagan? Everybody's been talking about him lately. Let's see. How about my favorite, Neil Armstrong? No? Okay. And then there was a couple guys that thought they were Jesus, and did they heal anybody? Let's see if these names ring a bell. Jim Jones? Did he heal anybody? What about Saddam Hussein or Bin Laden? They're popular names, aren't they? People followed them, had a great following, right? Even the one man that we could probably put on the highest pedestal of all when it comes to the church, Billy Graham himself, nobody ever prayed the name Billy Graham to heal anybody, did he? We always prayed in the power and in the name of Jesus Christ. So I want you to keep that in mind as we begin. So first I want to tell you that the name of Jesus Christ has and will always carry power. Has and will always carry power. Now we also know that his name was in the beginning. His name was in the beginning. If you read John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with who? God." Right? So we know that the creation of the world and all that was created by Christ and for Christ. We see this in Colossians 1:16. All my scriptures will be coming from the NIV today. "For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him." Pretty powerful, isn't it? Now, I want to let you know, if you're not a biblical scholar, when it says in Scripture, all things, nothing is left out. When God says all, he means all. When you know, you look at a cookie jar and there's still one cookie in there, they're not all gone. Right? When we say all, we mean all. John 8:58 puts it this way. Verily, truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. And can you imagine that when he's preaching, he says something like this to the Jewish people? This rocked their world, because Abraham was the man. Abraham was who they saw their lineage to, and they were very proud of that. And I can't imagine the poor good Jews that Jesus said this to really upset them. I bet a lot of them had sleepless nights after that. They're like, how? He's physically among us. He's a human. How in the world could he have been born before Abraham? How could he know that Abraham was going to be born? And there was the rub. They didn't understand the fact that, yes, Jesus was fully man, but he was also fully what? God. Right? Okay? And then John, again, in John 1:3 says this. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? So nothing was made without him. Now here's one that we often miss. In fact, I didn't put it in my sermon, but it really nagged at me this week. Where in Scripture do we see the Trinity come together? Where's the first place? Think about it for a minute. Well, I'll tell you. Genesis 1:26. If you don't have room, flip over your outline and write this one down. Because it simply says this. God speaking, and he says, let us create man in our image. You see it? So he's saying, it's just not me doing this. It's the Holy Spirit and God the Father and Christ, all in one as a triune God. Now, he was also, his name given at birth was powerful. His name was so powerful. He came to fulfill promises and save the world from itself. Now, one of the things that you see with Christ is he fulfilled every prophecy about him to the letter. You understand that? He wasn't playing horseshoes here. You know, he didn't think, oh, close enough is close enough. No, he understood that it had to be done precisely and to the point without question. In fact, do you know how many prophecies that Christ fulfilled? Not one, not two, but 353 prophecies. That's powerful, isn't it? When he came to earth and when he did what he did and when he died on the cross and he rose from the grave, he fulfilled every one of those prophecies to the T. That's pretty powerful. In Isaiah 9:6, we see this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, those are pretty good things to be called, right? But the one thing that we can call him that Isaiah didn't put in this verse is we also can call him Savior, right? Isn't that powerful? He is our Savior. He is all those things, but he's also our Savior. And then Matthew 1:22 says this, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. So all through the Old Testament, we see all these prophets saying, this is going to happen, and this person's going to come along. There's going to be a Christ. There's going to be a Messiah. There is no question. And when Jesus came to fulfill it, here's the funny part. They all knew the Old Testament prophets. They all knew that Jesus was supposed to come. And when he showed up and he was face to face with them, guess what? They still rejected him. They still didn't believe what they were seeing. They could reach out and touch Christ, but they struggled to believe it. And then, number three, his name holds power and authority. Not only power, but authority. He has authority over all things. He has power over all things. This authority was given to his disciples and believers. So Christ didn't just come down here on earth, use his holy power and his majesty, and raise people from the dead, and heal the sick, and do all the things that he did, and keep it to himself, and leave. and left the disciples with nothing, he did what? He gave them the ability, he gave them the power through his name to do the same things that he was doing. There is nothing the disciples did not have power to do that Jesus had power to do. Isn't that powerful? Now here's the other great part. In this room, who are disciples? All of us. Every one of us in this room is a disciple. So then, okay, hang with me for a second, right? So if that means that we're all disciples and Jesus gave his abilities and his powers to heal the sick and to raise the dead and to do all these great things, who else was given that power? There we go. You can talk back to me. I'm okay with that. You understand what I'm saying? The disciples use their power to heal the sick and to do all these things, and then it also trickles down to us as his disciples in today's age. Now, I'll do a little sidebar here for a second. Just because we have the ability, and just because we can use the name of Christ to do these things, it's not always going to happen. Because we always have to keep into account God's will. Right? Now, why do bad things happen to good people? There's only one word, and that's sin. And so bad things are going to happen because we live in a sinful world surrounded by sinful people. Matthew 10:1 puts it this way. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Now what am I going to go back to again? Every disease and sickness. When it says every, it means every. It means cancer. It means leprosy. It means whatever. Fill in the blank. Okay? And so when we look at that and we understand that, we have to stop and think for a minute. If I have the ability to pray over somebody in the name of Jesus and they're healed, who gets the glory? God does. Now, I don't usually pick on people much, but I really struggle with them televangelists that do the boom, you're healed. Because I just don't like it. Number one, if you ever watch closely, a lot of times they don't even use the name of Jesus. They're going on and on and on, and they're talking about themselves, and they're talking about the gifts that God gave them, but they're taking the glory. In fact, that's why their stadiums are full. Is because it's not the name of Jesus that's got power. Well, and then there's that scripture in scripture that scares me to death. That says, you know, people will stand before God someday. And he'll look at them and go, I never knew you. And they're like, whoa, 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 Jesus. Just a minute, dude. You know, I healed people in your name. I raised people from the dead in your name. I did all these things in your name. And Jesus looks them dead in the eye and says, I never knew you. It's because it's the power of Jesus' name that heals them, that does all these things. It's not their power. Are you with me? Amen? Come on now. We're in church. Let's have church. Wake up. So, I'm going to get fired. All right, so. Now, here's the next one. It says that he gave the power to cast out demons, right? And cure every disease and sickness. Now that whole demon thing, I've seen it firsthand. It's ugly. It's bad. In fact, at my last church, there was a woman that was, we don't know if she was possessed or oppressed by the Spirit. And just so you know, as we've done the studies, and Ed, I know you'll agree with me on this, that as a believer in Christ, you cannot be possessed. You can be oppressed. All right? And sometimes telling the difference, you can't really tell. But this woman was bad. And at first I thought maybe she was kind of faking it and just, you know, some stuff. And then one night as we were praying over her and trying to heal her of this, she actually threatened my wife and used her name, and she'd never met my wife. So, and it also tried to scare me and said that it was going to kill me. And I smiled and says, I'm not scared. I have Jesus Christ as my Lord. Because that's where the power is. And it's not me, human, right? It's his power, his name. Okay? Now, and by the way, sidebar, don't ever mess with that stuff unless you have a man or woman of God that has, you know, that kind of ability and power. You understand? Don't mess with it. Just because we have the ability and the power doesn't mean we should go out and and do it. All right? Okay, I need to move on. Acts 3:6 puts it this way. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." And he says, "Walk." The man who'd been sitting outside, legs were bent and crippled. He'd been there for years. People knew him. And he's walking in, and of course, he's asking for money. That's what beggars do. Well, I love this because I know for a fact. I just know it in my heart. Because he's down at this level, right? You know what Peter does? He gets down and he says, "I don't have gold or silver, but what I have I give you. I give you the power of Jesus' name. Healed and walk." Can you imagine? Someone that's never walked. Here's the thing. He didn't have to do physical therapy. He didn't have to go see a doctor. The understanding is he popped right up. He jumped, he danced, he did all kinds of stuff. And he ran into the temple and told everybody. That's the power of Jesus' name. Isn't that cool? Man. All right. Okay, so next, I already give up my next point. Heal the lame and raise the dead. Now, were there disciples that raised the dead? Yeah. Now, do we read about it? Not so much. But we know what happened. What is the most popular raising of the dead in Jesus' time? Remember? Lazarus, right? There's always this sentence that makes me laugh. It was either Mary or Martha. I'm not sure which one it was. She looked at Jesus and goes, "But Lord, he stinketh." You know, he'd been dead for a while. But did that stop Jesus? No. Lazarus came forth, didn't he? So, again, now one of the things that I've talked with other pastors about is the fact that we have this ability, and why don't we see it? And he says, you know, when we say raise the dead, you know, sometimes I think we're also talking about the spiritually dead. You know, he says, when I was talking with him about this, I really never thought about that. You've got the spiritually dead. And then there are those that may be dead by human standards, but they're still hanging on. I look at stories like John Piper when he got ran over by that semi-truck and, you know, spent 90 minutes in heaven. And that man prayed over him, and even though he knew he was dead. So it still happens in today. By the way, do you think that the miracles of the world stopped after the period in Revelation? No, they're still happening. You know, one of the best miracles I believe that's happening in our day is a single mother with three kids that's making it. That's a miracle. Right? All right. I'll continue on. Matthew 10:8 says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." Okay, so then the disciples can do this stuff. So now the disciples are making disciples, right? And then they understand and explain the power of Jesus' name. Now, the one I love is the fact that leprosy was like cancer to us today. And there would be people that would be visually healed. Their sores would dry up and heal. They would be able to go back to society and not be shunned any longer. It's so powerful. Okay, his name proclaimed today brings power to strengthen the weak, deliver those who are imprisoned by addiction, and restores the broken. Now I want to look at all three of these real quickly, okay? Bring strength to the weak. How many times during the week do you just feel like giving up? You're just not strong enough. I can't deal with this anymore. I'm struggling. My kids are out of control. My life feels like it's out of control. I can't handle the way things are happening in this world. Everything seems to be out of the control and you just want to give up. He will give you that strength to carry on. He will give you the strength to do what you need to do. Also, when we look at someone that's imprisoned by addiction. You know, I never really understood addiction so much until I started counseling a young man that was struggling with it. And I started to do my research. Addiction is awful. It doesn't matter if you're addicted to alcohol, if you're addicted to gambling, if you're addicted to drugs, addicted to pornography, addicted to food, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you this. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter what it is. But addiction is a big monkey that's hard to get off your back. And I believe through the power of Jesus' name, people can be free. Also, restore the broken. Those people that are broken, that have sinned so much, those broken marriages, those people that feel like that they're worthless and nobody loves them, nobody cares for them. Their life has been a shambles or been hurtful from the day that they entered this world. I believe the power of Jesus' name can bring them back to full and powerful strength. Amen? Are you with me so far? Okay. Next, I want to look at John 14:13. And it says this, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." That's another thing you'll see with Jesus. He didn't take the glory when he was here on earth, did he? He gave the glory to God the Father. He says, "I come to bring glory to the Father." 1 John 5:14 says this, "This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for." So if you ask for it in His name, what's going to happen? He's going to give it to you, right? Now, understand, if He doesn't give it to you, there's a reason. He's got a reason, okay? And understand that. Because sometimes Christians get frustrated. And in fact, some Christians have left the church because they didn't get what they asked for. All right? Because I believe God knows what's best for you. And sometimes He's not going to allow you to have that thing that you want because it's not the best thing for you. But let me just put it this way. How many people do you know who won the lottery and they're miserable? And they've lost everything. Once they won the lottery, their whole life changed. They thought money would make them happy. And it doesn't. There are people, you know, another one, I've had people pray because they loved someone so much, they wanted to be married to someone so much, they just prayed and prayed and prayed and asked God if they could just put them together, that their life would be perfect. And somehow, some way, God allowed them to marry. And then they were miserable. Are you with me? So when God challenges you on those things, understand He has something often better in mind. Okay? And then number five is probably the one that I hang on to the most. His name saves the lost. And by the name of Jesus Christ, people can be brought to Him and restored and forgiven through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 puts it this way, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Romans 10:13 puts it this way, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be," what? "Saved." If they call on the name of the Lord, they will be saved. His name will make things right again. Again, I come back to the world in which we live. Someday, Jesus will return and everything will be set back in place as it should be. I believe creation will be restored and as beautiful as it was in the Garden of Eden. I believe that mankind will be restored and be pleasant with one another and love one another, taking away any jealousy, pride, or anger. Wouldn't that be a great world to live in? Taking away all sickness, all pain. Man, I'm looking forward to that day. Y'all don't know it, but I threw my back out this week. And it's been fun, really. When you got to ask the wife to put socks on, that's a rough day. I was just hoping I didn't make her mad so I didn't have to walk around barefoot. So, next. This is my favorite scripture in the Bible. You ready? Revelation 19:11-16. This is John speaking. This is so powerful. Just try and picture a visual image of all this, okay? "I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword to which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that powerful? I can't wait for that day. You know, I love watching the clouds. Sometimes I see this big cloud bank and I'm like, all right, come on, Jesus, let's go. He doesn't show up. Someday though, right? And as believers, you're going to go, I know what's going to happen next. Right? All right. So he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, all right? His name will be praised by all. You know, Miss Patty read the scripture so well, all right? But I have a point here. I want you to listen to this. I believe that you'll either kneel now or you'll kneel then. They have rejected Christ. This world has rejected Christ. You either kneel now in submission to him, or you will kneel later. You hearing me? In fact, Scripture says this. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, every knee will bow. You know that's just not humans, right? Every animal, every creature that roams the earth will bow before Christ. You imagine that picture? Yeah. Got all these people that don't want to go to church. Guess what? The first thing God's going to make them do? Go to church. Pretty cool, huh? Well, my last two points are this. His name is the only hope to enter heaven. Now, I know that there are people that kind of wiggle on this one. They believe there's other ways to heaven. But I believe this verse and this verse alone. John 14:6 says this. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. Is there only one way to get to heaven? Yes, there is. Are there other ways? Can I get to a place of enlightenment? Can I buy my way into heaven? Nope. Can I, you know, when I get to heaven, because grandma's already there, grandma used to take me to church, can I go up to the pearly gates and knock and go, hey, let me in, my grandma took me to church. We can't hang on to the coattails of those that went before us? Oh man, that's a bummer. Because grandma and grandpa were going to get me into heaven just like they got me into church. No. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that's to claim Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. Amen? Okay. Okay, and then his name is always above all. There is no name above Jesus. None. You hear me? None. Hebrews 13:8 puts it this way. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Revelation goes on to say in 22:13, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. There's no wiggle room there, folks. He is it. He's it. I believe you can put your trust in him. His popularity isn't what it used to be, but his power is still the same. You hear me? His popularity isn't what it used to be, but his power remains the same. In fact, I'm going to end with a story. My aunt, Margie, she lives in Kansas City, Missouri. And when my grandma passed away, I took two antique chairs. One of them was this big kind of barrel back type chair, and it was made out of mole hair. It was so nasty to sit on. But it was my grandma Rose's chair, and she had died at like 110 in the chair. And then I got it from my grandmother's, and I had it restored. Well, my Aunt Margie came to the house, and I showed her that chair. I said, remember this chair? She goes, oh, that chair is so awesome. She goes, there's a huge story behind that. There used to be a couch that matched it. I'm like, what? She goes, that chair has been in China. It used to belong to missionaries in China back in the early 1900s. I guess this chair was made a long time ago. And she goes, there's an amazing story. The two missionaries that lived there in China had a storefront as their front to be missionaries, because they had to hide it in China. Because back then, they would be killed as missionaries, as servants of the Lord. Well, what happened was, is they had a friend that they converted who was a soldier, and he became a Christian. One night he came to their house and said, tonight the army is coming to kill you. There was no place for him to run. There was no place for him to hide. So the man and the woman got on their knees and they prayed. And they prayed all night. In fact, the woman was so scared, her hair turned white overnight. And they continued to pray. And they continued to call out to Jesus. Because they knew the power in Jesus' name, right? He's going to protect them. He's going to be their shelter in a time of need, right? So they continued to pray in Jesus' name all night long. Well, the army never came. So the next morning, the soldier shows up. And he's ghost white. She's like, we prayed all night. I thought you said the soldiers were coming. We were prepared to meet Jesus. We prayed all night. He says, you're not going to believe me when I tell you. And they're like, what? The army did show up. But they were scared away by all the guards that you had at your house. We didn't have any guards. He said, no, there were 100 men scattered throughout your property. God has an army waiting and prepared. You just have to call on him. You hear me? My grandmas and my aunt aren't not ones to tell stories that aren't true. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? The name of Jesus is the most powerful lifeline you can pull on and call on. By the way, when you get to the end of the rope, you know what you're supposed to do? Tie a knot and hang on. Jesus will be there. Don't hesitate to call out to him. You hear me? All right, well, let's pray. Father, I kneel before you in total humility. It is an honor and a privilege to serve you. And Lord, like many, I know that I have failed you and have tried to do things on my own too many times. And Lord, it's never turned out good for me. So Father, right now, my biggest prayer is that, Lord, that you heal us as a people, that you heal us as a nation, you heal us as a church. In your holy name we pray. We ask that you will be with us as we go through this week and as we face difficulties, as we face trials and temptations. Father, I pray that we call upon the power of Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us that gift and that ability as believers in Jesus Christ. Father, help us to use it. Help us to introduce it to others that are believers and help them through their struggles. Lord, again, I thank you for this church and for the privilege to speak on your behalf today. I pray that it all brought glory to you and you alone. And again, Father, we just thank you for forgiving us and saving us and dying on a cross for us and bearing every sin. Father, I just pray that we never take that lightly. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.